From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of June 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. Daryl Good will be here to take it yesterday's musings from the USDA, World Agricultural Outlook Board. We'll get an update of the cash grain situation with Bruce Bostert at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, and a look at the weekend weather forecast. Steve Hiltberg from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center will be here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
On this Friday afternoon, settlement prices in Chicago like this for the day. July futures in the wheat at $7.59 and a quarter, up 14 and a quarter for the nearby. Deferred next year, July at $8.79 and three quarters, down 12 and a quarter cents. July corn futures a penny and a half higher at $7.87 today. September at $7.56, up 2, and then the December futures down a penny and a half at $7.12 and a half. March at 7.23, down 1 and a quarter, and the May future 7.29 and a quarter, a penny and a quarter lower. July 7.33 at next year's, down 3 and a quarter, and December of 2012 at 6.43, down 2 cents. July soybean future 6 and a half lower at $13.87 and a quarter. August 13.82 and a quarter, down 5. September futures 13.79 and a half, down 5 and 3 quarters, and November beans at $13.81 and three quarters, a nickel lower. January futures 13.91 and a quarter, down 4 and a half cents. July bean meal futures finished at 373.30, up 40 cents. July soybean oil down 55 cents at 59.85. Mercantile Exchange finished the June live cattle futures at 102.72 and a half, $1.90 lower. August contract down $1.95 for 100 pounds at $103.47 and a half for the live cattle, and the feeder cattle finished down at $1.70 at $123.62 and a half. September futures there at $125.17 and a half, $1.60 lower. June lean hog futures at $91.70, up $1.25. July at $93.22 and a half, up 25 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. July crude oil at $99.35 a barrel, down $2.58. Ethanol at $2.77 and 6 cents, a penny and 8 cents lower on the afternoon. And the natural gas at $4.76, up 8 and 6 tenths of a cent. And the heating oil at $3.10 and 3 tenths of a cent, down 3 and 4 tenths of a cent. That ethanol, by the way, was up a penny and 8 tenths, not down a penny and 8 tenths. Again, it settled at $2.77 and 6 tenths of a cent. Gold futures at $1,528.60 an ounce, finished $13.50 lower. The Dow is lower, down 136 points at this hour at 11,987, and the dollar at 74.79, up 0.6. The CRB index at 348.04, down 2.8 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for Urbana-Champaign. Yet this afternoon, a 50% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, partly sunny. High today near 88 degrees, west winds at about 15 miles an hour. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely, mostly cloudy, a low of 65, west-southwest winds at 5 to 8, and they'll become calm. Chance of precip this evening set at 70%, mostly sunny tomorrow, 73 degrees, north-northwest winds at 8 to 10, and then Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 55. Sunday sunny, a high just 73 degrees, east-northeast winds at 7 miles an hour, and Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 56 degrees. On Monday, should be partly sunny for a start to the work week with a high of 75 degrees, partly cloudy on Monday night, low of 60. Tuesday, sunny, a high of 83. And Tuesday night, a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low around 67. Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms, a high of 85. Thursday, sunny, and a high near 84. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour and we talk with Steve Hiltberg.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana, is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, let's start with the wheat pit, which was pretty interesting today. The nearby July contract up and the deferreds were lower. Why?
Simply put, it was just spread unwinding from what I could gather and what some of the trade sources were telling me today, Todd, that we had had that major move down in the wheat-corn spread. After the report, we got down to that 40 to 41 cent level corn premium to wheat in the lead month. Today, we came back around and decided to shave some of that premium off of the corn and take some profits from what I'm picking up from the spread trade up there. So I think that was pretty much the number one factor driving the corn and the wheat trade today, other than the fact that we did make a run in the July corn up to just under $8 and really try and go after that 8 handle on the corn. But once we got done with that, it looked like they went back to spread trading.
July contract settled in the corn pit at 787. By comparison, July wheat at 759 and a quarter. It was lower, of course, so let's make it 760 and the math's easier. Down 27 cents on the spread between the two. It's unusual. It only happens, I suppose, when you're really short of corn. And in this case, they're looking to what? Feed soft red winter wheat to kind of fill out the end of the year?
Yeah, exactly. And the other necessary requirement a lot of times is you have a high degree of feed wheat out there in the world to be able to use as a substitute. And this year we do have that, and we had the similar type situation back in 96. I saw this morning that Asian feeders are starting to turn towards the wheat pretty aggressively if their governments will let them. The Aussie feed wheat is $90 a ton cheaper than U.S. corn for August shipment right now. Even the Southeast poultry firms are starting to look pretty hard for feed wheat as well. So I think that's where this wheat continues to be a major player in terms of how high the corn can go. Like I talked with Dave this morning, I would see the wheat and the corn and the weather as the three majors as to where the corn can go in terms of upside potential. If you have strong wheat feeding at the expense of corn, you don't have any inclement weather, you don't have that talk of a blowtorch in the middle of the country in terms of excessive heat, and you don't have the issue with the crude oil jumping, you know, back over that 102.50 level and taking out its 100-day moving average, I think you've got the market pretty fairly priced and got quite a bit of a premium already in the market until we know how we shake out in terms of June weather and potential yield down the road here.
You mentioned 95.96. I had a discussion with Daryl Good this morning, and many people are talking about 95.96. And that was one of the few times that USDA, World Agricultural Outlook Board, had changed acreage figures in one of their supply and demand estimates, or the WASDE numbers, like they did yesterday. There are a bunch of differences between this year and that year, though. One of them is that I don't believe that we came in to the summer growing season with a short supply of corn.
No, and I think that's how you look at it from a standpoint. There are a lot of micro fundamentals that are different in terms of the supply side, where it's a more bullish micro fundamental situation for the corn versus 95-96. But I would also say the outside markets in the global economy and the world economy are a lot weaker than they were in 95-96. That was the time when we had the Asian tigers just starting to take off, and that lasted all the way into 96-97. So you're right. We have the USDA came out with 146.5 million ton coarse grain ending stocks number. Back in 95, it was 161. And we're also down to, a 12.6% stocks to use globally. We were much above that, probably closer to 14 or 15%. Back in the 95-96 time period. The similarities that are there is that the wheat started the market higher, wheat gave way, and then the corn took over. And beans, they went up, but they didn't really do much. Really, as I remember it, late 96, early 97 was really the year or the time period for the beans to really kick into gear. So in that sense, I think there's some good similarities. And I think when it comes to the basis, Todd, I think that's where you have a lot of similarities potentially. And I remember 95-96 where puts worked very, very well because we were red hot, no break in terms of mindset and going into the middle part of 96. But by the end of 96, the markets were breaking pretty hard, and those people that had $1, $2 out of the money puts were pretty happy come fall. So I think it's good risk management on the puts at this stage, especially if the crop does get shorter. I think those puts can be offset by an improving basis, and then you can take advantage of the outright futures rally if you have one.
So on the marketplace, factually, we're at, according to the WASDE numbers, and ending stocks number for the new crop year, the marketing year that will begin once we start the harvest of the corn crop that's not completely in the ground yet, of 695 million bushels, just a 5.2%, right? Stocks to use ratio, which
right.
is really small,
right.
but a very high price at this point. And if we have a normal growing season, and I think maybe it's important to note that while WASDE changed a lot of things yesterday, it did not bother to mess with actual yield and left it at 158.7.
No, and that kind of makes sense because the crop conditions were still pretty early on. We've got to get a lot of data from the crop insurance leg, the FSA leg of USDA. I think the other thing that I went back and looked at back on June 1 was it is difficult to get a record or top-end yield in corn after June 1. I would buy into that wholeheartedly, and that's why June is so important. And clients, agronomists, seed dealers, and what I see, and with my own limited knowledge, would say that if you can have a relatively warm and wet June, you could probably see a lot of the corn catch up, but it's still going to be hard to make that top-end yield. But here again, in beans, it's a little bit different. I went back and looked on June 1, and in 2006, we were only 42% planted in beans during that time period, whereas we were 51% this year. We still eked out a 42.9 bushel yield in 2006 for a final yield number. So I think there's still plenty of time to get the beans, at least a top-end yield in the beans if you've got them in the ground. Probably the biggest factor, one of the biggest factors next week, other than the weather coming in to see whether we actually do cool off and continue to get nice, timely rains, is probably where do we sit in bean planting, because the trade from the guys I talked to this week, we're not really worried about the planting progress numbers for the beans. So that would suggest to me if we're 70-72% planted, we made at least 20-25% jump this week, then maybe the beans can go ahead and get in the ground in a timely fashion. But if we're behind that number, that's going to be an issue that the market's going to have to contend with.
One last question for you, and maybe you can give me your answer and what you think the trade sets at. Right now, we're looking at a 13.2 billion bushel corn crop based on yesterday's acreage figure and the 158.7 and the harvested acreage. Where do you think the trade is looking at total yield? Do they have less acres? Do they have less yield? And it doesn't matter really what the combination is, but are they below 13.2?
I think they're probably right at 13 billion right now, or at least they're going.
So another 200 million lower.
I'm sorry?
So down another 200 million.
Yeah, I think that's what they're pricing in right now, especially with the July corn busting up against that $8 level. And we're still quite a ways away in the Dease corn from that June 23rd high of 08, you know, that 796 level. We're still quite a bit of ways away from that. And that would suggest to me, okay, they're probably right at about a 13 billion bushel corn crop. And that means that we're probably trading still above a 500 million bushel carryover. If the trade gets wind or feels like we're going below 500 million bushels, then we have to start talking about that June 23rd, 08 high as a potential target.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Just watch that crude market. We've got some pretty good trading ranges established in the corn and in the crude and also in the beans and wheat. And it looks like that we've been in these trading ranges quite a long time, Todd, and it looks like we're going to need to break out one way or the other to maybe build some momentum and get some new length or some new shorts in there.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good weekend.
You too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Hey, if you'd like, you can always visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Dave Dickey's here now to take us through the ag news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, the White House, by executive order, has created the White House Rural Council. The council will be chaired by USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack and will include the heads of nearly every other cabinet-level agency and more. The effort will seek to create jobs and bolster rural development by increasing the flow of capital to rural areas, promoting innovation, expanding digital and physical networks, and celebrating opportunity through America's natural resources. The Rural Council will coordinate programs across different local, state, and federal agencies to work on public-private partnerships. Industry sources say that flooding on the Missouri River is disrupting grain movement and could cost millions of dollars in lost revenue for agribusinesses in the U.S. Midwest. Flooding could hamper the movement of corn from the western Midwest to the east, where supplies are expected to be low this summer and need to be supplemented to feed the poultry sector in the southeast. And grains analyst Dan Bossi of Ag Resource says he expects about 1 million acres of corn and soybeans to be submerged by floodwaters. China posted a smaller-than-expected trade surplus in May of $13.1 billion because of soaring imports and weaker global demand growth. China's sales to the U.S. and the European Union slumped to their weakest level since late 2009. Exports rose 19.4% in May from a year earlier, slowing from the 29.9% pace in April, while import growth accelerated to 28.4% from 21.8% in April. The trade surplus rose from $11.4 billion in April, but was far below forecasts in a poll for $18.6 billion. Trade data for China is always closely watched because it is the world's biggest exporter and second biggest economy. The CME Group says it has no plans to investigate a one-minute crash in natural gas futures that occurred Thursday during Asian trading hours in the latest in a series of mini flash crashes to beset commodity markets. Front month June New York Mercantile Exchange natural gas futures dived about 8% in fewer than 15 seconds on Thursday. The chairman of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, Gary Gensler, says it is too early to analyze the details of the drop in natural gas futures. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program you can hear tonight after about 6 o'clock. Our guest this week, Jerry Golke of the Golke Group out of Chicago, Illinois. Commodity Week, our weekly look at what happened in the world of agricultural markets. Now, up next, you know the World Agricultural Outlook Board lowered its estimate this week of U.S. corn acreage. It's not an unprecedented move, but one, as you'll hear, that happens rarely. The June World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, or WASDE report, from the World Agricultural Outlook Board lowered the number of acres it expects U.S. farmers to plant to corn this year. That number dropped by 1.5 million. It's an unusual move, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
It's kind of a rare thing for the World Outlook Board to do that, but they have done it in the past, most recently in 2002, but in 95 and 96, when we had really late planted crops, they did make some judgment about acreage in the June report. And frankly, there was a lot of chatter in front of the report that they might do that, citing the previous examples when they had.
Still, there's something about seeing it on paper, says Good, especially from the conservative analyst at the World Agricultural Outlook Board, that confirmed lower prospects for corn in the United States this season.
They lowered the estimate of planted acres by 1.5 million acres, and I think rightfully citing very late planting in the eastern Corn Belt and the northern Plain states, and then lowered the prospects for harvested acres for grain by 1.9 million acres, again citing flooding of already planted corn along the Missouri and Mississippi rivers. I mean, there's some private estimates out there that 400 to 500,000 acres have been lost to flooding. So the adjustments seem to be very logical to me.
Good also believes the board did the logical thing and left the yield prospects for corn unchanged at 158.7 bushels to the acre.
It gives us a crop of, what, 13.2 billion, down about 300 million from what we were looking at last month. USDA also lowered their expectations on feed use of corn for next year by 100 million bushels, and I would guess because of prospects of tight supplies, high prices, we would expect some reduction in consumption as we move along the demand curve. Even so, that gives us a very tight year-ending stocks projection of 695 million bushels.
That's a stocks-to-use ratio of 5.2% for the coming marketing year. This season's ratio is 5.4%. USDA is now in the process of surveying farmers about the number of acres planted of corn this season. The survey-calculated acreage figure will be released June 30th. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Checking now what's been happening in the world of agricultural cash grain markets is Bruce Bostert at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Producers enticed to sell you any old crop on that big move yesterday?
You know, we bought a little bit, but not as much as you'd think. You know, when we broke $8 on nearby corn today, you thought there would have been more fireworks. But a lot of phone calls, not a whole lot of bushels left.
Not a whole lot of bushels, and they're willing to risk it, I take it.
Yep.
How about for new crop?
New crop, some selling. There, I think I'm also at a level where, in general, my customers are sold to a level they're pretty comfortable with right now, 25-30%. I think it's more a matter of time. They want to see the crop get up, take a better look at the stand, and maybe see some pollination, and then see if they feel comfortable enough to sell some more.
How far along do you think they were a year ago at this time on their new crop sales?
I think we got to this point quicker this year than last year, that we might be right about the same. We just got here quicker this year.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking that they might have been further along by this time last year. Interesting enough. Tell me about the cash grain market in your area now.
Basis levels continue to be very good out there. Market continues to look for nearby and try and sharpen their pencils and see where they're going to be and how they're going to make it to the transition to new crop. It's a continuing old crop story.
And how will they make that transition, do you think?
It depends on how much they've bought ahead and how well they've done. I mean, if I see some of these crazy Eastern Belt numbers, you know, upper 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s over a year out there, well, that'll get some rationing job done. I don't see how you can operate profitably long term. You're going to cross that threshold where we see production throttle back.
Your bids for the day?
We are at 791 on nearby corn, 686 on new crop, 1393 on the soybeans.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Boster did with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. He's in Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Back in just 2 minutes with the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Black Cow Day. Credit for the treat often goes to Frank Wisner of Cripple Creek, Colorado, who in 1893 was inspired to float a scoop of vanilla ice cream on top of his glass of root beer after glimpsing the illumination of snow on top of Cow Mountain outside his home. By the way, the drink is also known as a brown cow. On this day in agricultural history in 1869, frozen food was shipped long distance for the first time. Frozen Texas beef was shipped by steamship to New Orleans, frozen by refrigeration equipment invented by John Gorey. The meat was eventually served in hospitals, hotels, and restaurants. Success in the frozen beef market prompted food manufacturers to develop freezing methods of other types, culminating in Clarence Birdseye's flash freezing system that ultimately hit grocery cases in 1934. In 1952, Mylar was registered as a DuPont trademark. Mylar is a very strong polyester film that has gradually replaced cellophane. DuPont touted the polyester film's strength, heat resistance, and insulating properties. It is used as a food wrap in addition to many other non-food uses. And in 1985, in the most embarrassing moment category, Coca-Cola officials announced it was bringing back the old formula Coke to replace the new Coke nobody wanted. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
This is the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined now by Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, funded in part by NOAA, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the weekend and the week ahead. Thanks so much, Steve, for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me first what you see for the weekend.
Well, we're going to deal with some rain tonight, this afternoon, tonight, and tomorrow over parts of Illinois. Those in central Illinois probably aware that there is a severe thunderstorm watch that covers much of east central and central Illinois, and we do have thunderstorms ongoing now, none severe, basically just south of I-70, extending from Randolph County in southwestern Illinois to Clark County here on the eastern side of the state. So we'll see thunderstorm activity pick up during the afternoon and overnight, and then move out tomorrow as a very cool high pressure moves in here. It looks like the weekend's going to be very nice. Temperatures actually be below normal this weekend, with highs generally only in the 70s and lows probably dipping into the 50s in many areas. And then it looks like a slow warm-up next week with temperatures returning to normal about Tuesday, Wednesday. And we're not going to see, I don't think, any of the extreme heat we had earlier this week. But along with the return of the warm weather will come some more chances for showers and thunderstorms.
If you had to guess at how much those thunderstorms rolling across to Illinois and parts of the Midwest now will drop, what do you think?
I think there could be some rather healthy amounts because they're not moving very fast. And, you know, we've had a ton of rain up in northern Illinois earlier this week, 4 to 5 inches in some areas. And rainfall now from the storms that have been just ongoing this afternoon is probably approaching 1.5 to 2 inches in spots. The problem is, as I said, they're moving very slowly. So where storms form, you could get a healthy half inch to an inch of rain.
And could you look back a little further for me, too, in the Midwest, that is, further to the west? Because it seems to me those same set of thunderstorms that dropped large amounts in northern Illinois worked their magic over into Iowa, and that probably fed into the Missouri River, I would think.
Well, in the last week or so, most of the rain has been in eastern Iowa and northeastern Missouri, so most of that's probably ended up in the Mississippi. Most of the Missouris right now has been because of snowmelt in the Rockies. So right now it hasn't been too bad. It's been rather dry back through the eastern Dakotas and some thunderstorms last night in Nebraska. But generally in the Missouri River Basin, the rain hasn't been too bad over the last week or so.
Well, I stand corrected. Thank you so much for joining us today. I do appreciate it.
All right, Todd.
That is Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, which belongs in part, or funded in part, by NOAA. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Be sure to visit willag.org. We'll post our Commodity Week program with guest Jerry Golke there this evening by about 6 o'clock. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.